I know it's not college football or the NFL, but it's always a good weekend when you've got college basketball that you can sit down on the couch and watch. We've got plenty of it going on this weekend, as starting tomorrow, we officially hit the month of March, which is the month of college basketball. March Madness has already kind of gotten off to a big start, right? That Michigan State half-court heave a couple of nights ago. Last night, it was Michigan hitting the shot at the buzzer, a 28-footer fadeaway to beat Rutgers. Wolverines got the win there. So college basketball and the insanity has already begun here in late February as we enter the early portion of the month of March. And two big top 25 matchups to watch tomorrow involving regional teams here. Again, it's after hours on 96.5 The Fan. 1 hour remaining. We're with you till 9 o'clock tonight. Logan Weber alongside my producer for tonight's show this evening, Jacob Mustard. We begin with the Kansas Jayhawks, who have a massive 1 o'clock tip tomorrow afternoon against 10th-ranked Texas Tech. This game is in Lawrence, so it'll be in the friendly confines of Allen Fieldhouse in the fog. Man, Texas Tech, 21-7 on the year, but they've lost two of their last three, including a road contest to TCU, and they lost at home to Houston back on February 24th. Meanwhile, Kansas has won their last two games. They blew out Oklahoma State last weekend, and then they narrowly escaped at Colorado earlier this week as well. They beat them by 71 to 64. These are two teams that are stout defensively. Texas Tech's giving up just under 67 points a game, and KU's giving up just over 67 a game. Right now, these teams are pretty closely matched, other than the fact that Texas Tech, offensively, they can fill it up. But they've been struggling from the floor as of late. After scoring 111 and 93 against Arizona State and Oklahoma State, respectively, they have scored 66, 73, and 61 in their last three games. So the offense is not hitting at all cylinders for the Red Raiders. Meanwhile, for Kansas, since they had that embarrassing 91-57 loss against BYU, they have held their last two opponents to 64. So a struggling offense for Texas Tech with a much better defensive effort from Kansas gives me some confidence that I think the Jayhawks could win this game, right? I know that KU's not ranked, but they're 19-9. Texas Tech's 21-7. And they're the number 10 team in the country, right? That is how tight the difference is between teams across college basketball this year. So much parity in collegiate basketball this season. It's been fun to watch. Right now, KU is a 4.5-point favorite at home at Allen Fieldhouse, over under at 145.5. It's a lot of points. I may be inclined to take the under in this game. I don't know. Coming down, the way that this game shapes up, it's going to come down a lot to how Kansas can handle JT Toppin, who is a phenomenal player, 17-9 this year. What you can do with him, because I don't think it's going to be a Hunter Dickinson sort of matchup with JT Toppin, because Toppin's too athletic, 6'9". He can put the ball on the floor. I don't think he matches up well with Hunter Dickinson. So it's going to come down to, let's face it, some other pieces and maybe some less trustworthy pieces. I don't know. Is Flory Badunga going to be the guy matched up with Toppin? Are you going to see KJ Adams on him throughout the course of this one? It's going to be intriguing to watch how this game plays out. For Kansas, continue to shoot the ball well. You got to shoot the ball well from the perimeter. It's something that they haven't done very consistently at points this year. They were extremely good in that game against Oklahoma State last weekend, knocking down 14 threes. I'm not saying you got to knock down 46, 47% of your threes game in and game out. That's ultra unrealistic. But you go from knocking down 47% of your threes against the Cowboys to hitting only three on 13 attempts against Colorado. Find a middle ground. Shoot 35, 36% from the three-point line. Shoot that way from the perimeter, and it opens things up, right? They got a phenomenal performance out of Hunter Dickinson earlier this week. I mean, 32 and 13 is nuts. And that's been the best performance we've seen from him maybe since he arrived in Lawrence. You shoot the ball well, it opens things up on the interior. It allows guys like KJ Adams to get to the cup. It allows Hunter Dickinson to do his thing down low in the paint with his back to the basket. Gotta have that. Gotta have that. And it comes down to guys like Zeke Mayo, Rylan Griffin, even KJ Adams to some extent, right? I've noticed Bill has shortened the bench a little bit, right? They're only, I mean, in that game against Colorado, they only went eight deep. Badunga came off the bench, Colt came off the bench, and AJ Storr only played 8 minutes off the bench. Those were the three guys that they had in his reserves. So they really, realistically, only went seven deep. All five starters played 30-plus minutes against Colorado. And it's you got to be reliable if you're those seven or eight guys coming off the bench. Man, a bit of a fall from grace if you're AJ Storr, who was a all-Big Ten caliber player at Wisconsin last year and is now being relegated to minuscule minutes at the University of Kansas. But that's the first big matchup of Saturday. The second one I've got is the Missouri Tigers. Mizzou has got a big one on the road against Vanderbilt in Nashville. Vanderbilt is, as of now, they're an NCAA tournament team. They're sitting at 19-9. They're 7-8 in the SEC. They've won their last two games, including beating a very good Texas A&M team on the road and taking down Ole Miss at home by five. Tigers have won four of their last five. They bounced back in a major way earlier this week, dismantling South Carolina at home, 101-71. 30-point home W for the Tigers. Jacob Grill, that dude is an absolute flamethrower. I'm not sure I've seen many guys at the college level have that green a light, especially coming off the bench. Like, to be a guy that's not a starter, and I'm not saying that he's not capable of being a starter, because he is. He absolutely is a talented enough player to be a starter. But I think Dennis Gates has found that he fits the prerogative of this basketball team better as a guy coming off the bench. He put up 22 in that game against South Carolina. He was 4 of 6 from the three-point line. He was 9 of 11 from the floor. And when you've got a guy like that coming off the bench that can give you 20 or 30 a night, Jacob Cruz has played much better over the last couple of weeks. He had 10. And then you've got, you know, a handful of starters. Anthony Robinson, Tamar Bates, Mark Mitchell, Tony Perkins all had double figures in that game against the Gamecocks. Trent Pierce had 9. He nearly had 7 guys in double figures. But again, it comes down to what it has always come down to for this Missouri team. The offense is the offense. And when you're shooting the ball well, you can blow teams out and you can hang and you can beat almost anybody. But when the offense is struggling, you've got to have quality defense. And they put together a great defensive performance against South Carolina. They put up poor defensive performances against Alabama and Arkansas. And it led to you ultimately falling against the University of Arkansas last weekend, 92-85. Play defense, take care of the basketball. That's the other thing. What allowed Arkansas to be so successful was getting out in transition and scoring off turnovers. Mizzou only turned it over 7 times against South Carolina earlier this week. Take care of the basketball. Play solid, in your face, in front of your man defense. That's all you need if you're Mizzou. Sunday, K-State is going to be back in action. They have got a matchup against Colorado at home, a Colorado team that's only won 2 games in the Big 12, but they hung with Kansas earlier this week, so maybe there's some intrigue there. Of course, the chances of making the NCAA tournament are zero for K-State at this point. After they won 6 in a row, from January into early February, they've now lost their last 4, including to 2 not very good teams in Arizona State and UCF. You've got Colorado, Cincinnati, and Iowa State to close out the year. Just try to win 2 of those last 3, I guess. Try to save a little bit of face, 15-16. You win 2 of your last 3, you'll finish 9-11 in the Big 12, so maybe it leapfrogs you into like the 8 or the 9 seed in the Big 12 tournament. but I don't know. Not much to read into there if you're K-State, unfortunately for Wildcat fans. But that leads me to Joe Lunardi, who released his latest 2025 NCAA tournament men's bracketology. This came out at 9 o'clock this morning, and there's some intrigue here. So taking a look at, you know, like last four byes, you've got Arkansas and Nebraska sitting there alongside San Diego State and Baylor. Last four in, Oklahoma, Indiana, Ohio State, and Texas. First four out, Georgia, North Carolina, Boise State, and Xavier. Next four out, Wake Forest, SMU, Cincinnati, and Villanova. Right now, they have, or Joe Lunardi has Mizzou in the East bracket in Newark. And they've got them as a 5 seed, taking on Yale as the 12 as an automatic qualifier out of, out of the Ivy League. If they win, they would play the winner of 13th seeded Lipscomb and Purdue. Purdue in the round of 32. That's a tough draw. But let's say they win that game. Right now, Lunardi has the number one seed in that East bracket, Duke, who is playing a 16 seed in his bracketology, which would be Marist or Southeast Missouri State, SEMO, or the 8-9, New Mexico and UConn. So right now, Mizzou's sitting on the 5 seed line, still an opportunity to move themselves further up that if they can take care of business. I think Mizzou is a team that, I mean, their ceiling right now is probably a 3 seed. Do I think that's realistic? No, I think a 5 seed is a fairly realistic mark for them. But if you take care of business the rest of this season, in the regular season, I should add, you beat Vanderbilt tomorrow on the road, a good Vanderbilt team, an NCAA tournament team, that's probably a quad one win for the Tigers if they win tomorrow. You've got Oklahoma on the road, which is probably a quad two game, I would say. Oklahoma has not had a good year. They're 17-11, but they're 4-11 in the SEC. And then you've got 17th ranked Kentucky at home. You win those three games and you're 24-7, 13-5 in the SEC, which is the best conference in America this year. Could be a 3 seed. 13-5 might get you a top 3 seed in the SEC tournament. Tennessee's 10-5, Florida's 11-4, Alabama's 12-3, and then you've got Auburn at 14-1. They're going to be the 1 seed. So for Mizzou, the possibility of even a 2 seed is still out there, theoretically. But I think the 3 seed, if you win your last 3 games, is very, very within reach. And if you're a 3 seed in the SEC tournament, you can get to the semifinal round or maybe even beat an Alabama or a Tennessee to get to an SEC final. That'll, you know, put you at 26-8. 26-8 if you get to the SEC championship and lose. But if you win the SEC championship, you're a 27-7 basketball team. 3 seed is very much a possibility. But I would say probably closer to a 4 or a 5 for the Mizzou Tigers. Taking a look at, you know, the rest of this field of teams. I've talked a lot about the Drake Bulldogs, a team that has a lot of kids from the Kansas City area playing on their team. Right now, they're listed as a 12 seed in the West region, playing 5th seeded Oregon. Drake's had a great year. I think that they're an NCAA tournament, or should be an NCAA tournament team, regardless of if they actually win the Valley tournament or not. Will it happen? I don't know. Arkansas, right now Lenardi's got him listed as a 10. And then Kansas, he has the Jayhawks as a 6 seed. In the Midwest region, they will open up in Denver, according to Lunardi, against 11th seed Nebraska. Not very often that Kansas has had to play another high major school in the first round. Do I think that that remains? Hard to say at this point. Looking at what Kansas has remaining, you've got this matchup tomorrow, a tough one against a game Texas Tech team. Let's say you win that one. You go to 20-9, You're 11-7 in the Big 12. And then you've got two more top 25 matchups. You got to go on the road to Houston next week. And then you've got a game at home against Arizona. You win all three, top 25 wins, theoretically. You go to 22-9, 13-7 in the Big 12. Yeah, you could probably push yourself up to the four line, five line. Go out and win the Big 12 tournament, which is a statement in the league this year in the Big 12, which is incredibly talented at the top. Houston, Arizona, Texas Tech, Iowa State, BYU, and Kansas. After that, it does falter a little bit. I mean, West Virginia 17-11, Cincinnati 17-11, Baylor 16-12. But those top six there, seven. Yeah, those top six, excuse me. Kansas, BYU, Iowa State, Texas Tech, Arizona, Houston. And you would have wins in your last three games against three of those five, those other five schools. You would have a win against Houston, you'd have a win against Arizona, and you'd have a win against Texas Tech, which right now are 1, 2, and 3 in the Big 12 in terms of the overall standings. I think moving yourself up to the four line is not out of the question. Someone said, stop going off Lenardi. He's ranked around 120th in accuracy the last 5 years. Plenty of others who are way more accurate to go off of. You're right, but Lenardi's just an easy one. He brings reverence a little bit to it. Is he the most accurate? I guess not. I'd never gotten down that deep into the numbers before, but I don't disagree with his statements about Mizzou being on the 5-seed line right now and Kansas being a 6. But you know, that's just my money on it. 913-586-7965 is our number. More to get to on the program here tonight. When we come back, we may even get back into some NFL draft stuff and what the Chiefs may do, but the Royals did play baseball today, and I'll give you the latest on spring training from Arizona on the other side here. Logan Weber alongside Jacob Mustard. It's After Hours on 96.5 The Fan. Rough couple of days in Arizona for the Kansas City Royals. Lost to the Rockies earlier this week, 7-6. Lost yesterday to the Brewers, 12-5. And today, they lose to the Arizona Diamondbacks, 6-1. Royals bats managed just 4 hits. Mikel Garcia with one. MJ Melendez hit a bomb. He was 1-for-3 in the game with a strikeout. Gavin Cross had a hit in this game, along with Harold Castro, who started and played third base. The 31-year-old from Venezuela was 1-for-3 in his limited ABs in this one. It was a rough day for Sam Long, especially. Gave up 3 earned on 3 hits, including 2 home runs in an inning of work. Hunter Harvey got the loss. He gave up 1 in an inning on 2 hits. And then late in this one, it was Tyson Guerrero who gave up 2 earned on 3 hits and a walk, struck out 2. Arizona had 10 hits in the game. So after starting out 4-0-1 to begin spring training, Royals have now lost 3 in a row here to get things started. But again, it's the spring training. Like, I mean, let's not throw the panic button out there. Someone, yeah, said they still have a +12 run differential. Not bad. And again, it's the spring. It's not about wins or losses. It's about getting your guys ready. And that's what this Royals team's trying to do right now. You know, hate to see Sam Long have the kind of performance that he had tonight, or this afternoon, I should say, in that game. You know, he had a good year with the Royals last year, 3.16 ERA in 43 games. I think he's a guy that could be a very reliable part of your bullpen, and to see him give up 3 earned today in an inning, not great, but again, it's just about getting the guys ready to go. And I think that this Royals team has questions, a lot of intrigue, a lot of potential. MJ Melendez hitting a bomb tonight or this afternoon is good. That's a good sign. He got off to a really slow start here in spring training, but it's starting to pick up for him a little bit in what is, in my opinion, very much a make or break year for him. It is a make or break season for MJ Melendez. So that's a fascinating one there. Again, Royals lose 6-1 to the D-backs today. They will be back in action tomorrow night from Surprise Stadium in Surprise, Arizona against the Cubbies. And the Cubbies right now are rolling. Cubbies are 6-0 in spring training, but they've tied their last three games. They tied the Giants 4-4, they tied the Rangers 8-8, and they tied the Angels 4-4. 913-586-7965. That same person who was talking about the run differential was also mentioned. They also try a lot of different things to see if they would possibly work, which gives them a good feel on what might do during the regular season. Yeah, it's just about, I mean, it's about finding what works, finding what doesn't, getting guys acclimated, playing against a team that has another jersey, you know, different colored jersey on, which is always important. I mean, these guys just reported a few weeks ago, and I know they've been training all offseason, but doing BP in the cage or going through live pitching situations and pitching sessions and whatnot, that's a lot different than an actual in-game feel of something. So they still, I mean, yeah, there's no reason to hit a panic button of any kind in the spring, let alone in the first month or even 2 months of a Major League Baseball season. Unless your team's like 5-30. Yeah, okay. Let's panic a little bit. But say the Royals are 13-18 or 13-19 in their first 31 or 32 games. I don't think we should all be collectively panicking. Oh, this team's terrible again. What's happening? Everybody needs to go. Which will happen at some point, I'm sure. I'm sure there's going to be a rough stretch for the Royals, and everybody's going to be like, okay, it's time to clear, fire everybody, time to clean house and start over. Except for, like, Bobby, right? I don't think Bobby's going anywhere. Probably not Cole Reagans either, but I don't know. Speaking of things we don't know, could Aaron Rodgers stay in New York? He could. According to ESPN, the New York Giants have now included Aaron Rodgers in their search for a veteran quarterback. Now, apparently the Giants were in talks with the Rams about acquiring Matthew Stafford, but of course Stafford reached an agreement on an extension or a restructured deal with the Los Angeles Rams. So Stafford's going to stay in LA. So the Giants, along with other teams across the NFL, have had to reevaluate what they want to do at quarterback. Raiders among them. So now we're getting news from Adam Schefter that the Giants are looking at bringing in Aaron Rodgers as their starting quarterback. When will people learn? I just don't get it, man. Yes, Aaron Rodgers is an exceptional talent. Or I'll phrase that better. Was an exceptional talent. As early as three seasons ago. But he's coming off of an Achilles tear from 2 years ago. This past season, he wasn't great. And you believe that by bringing him to the Giants, that's somehow going to change everything. He had more weapons in with the Jets, and it didn't work. What about keeping him in the Big Apple and going to the Giants? Could you possibly imagine is going to be a better situation? The Giants are not a good football team. Stop acting like you're a good football team. Let it go, dog. Just understand that you have to rebuild. Figure it out. They've got the number 3 overall pick, so you could get, theoretically, Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, and I believe they will. But regardless, according to Schefter, they still want to add a veteran quarterback in free agency who can serve as a mentor and or reliable option if they can't get their future signal caller in the draft. I don't know how you wouldn't be able to get a quarterback at number 3. But, man, I don't know. Go for it. Go for it, Giants. Please. It's going to be just as big a cluster, you know what, It's going to be a dumpster fire, but it's going to be phenomenal to watch. It's going to be entertaining for the rest of us in the NFL. I think it would be absolutely preposterous to do that. As I mentioned, this all stems from Matthew Stafford agreeing on a restructured deal to remain with the Los Angeles Rams. This after he was given permission to speak with other teams around the NFL. He met with the Raiders. He met with the Giants about contract parameters. And then it seems like Stafford and LA were able to come to an agreement on a reworked contract. It's wild, dude. Giants are investigating all veteran quarterback options, including Aaron Rodgers. Schefter's also reporting that the Raiders are looking into veteran options that include Russell Wilson, Sam Darnold. Some are reporting. I think the Vikings would be stupid to let him walk, but I digress. Schefter's also saying that they are looking in the vein of Justin Fields. I don't know. But I tell you what. Good news if you're a team in the NFC East or the AFC West that Matthew Stafford's not coming to your division. That's good. So good for the Chiefs that Stafford's staying in LA, meaning he's not coming to the Raiders to make that division even more competitive than it already is. 913-586-7965 is our number. Much more to get to here on the program tonight. I want to thank you for joining us. Logan Weber alongside Jacob Mustard here on 96.5 The Fan. I'm sure a lot of you already know this, but dude, buying a house is no joke, my guy. It is no joke.
I haven't started and I don't want to.
Yeah, it's... Whew. So my wife and I, like I said, and I've spoken about this previously, you know, I'm a Kansas City kid, born and raised. I grew up in the metro. I didn't grow up like in Kansas City city limits by any stretch. I grew up in Lawson, Missouri. Not sure if many have ever even heard of it, but it's about 45 minutes from here, from the stations we have here at Odyssey here in Mission. It's about 35 minutes, I would say, from downtown, 30 to 35 minutes from downtown, northeast of the city. So if you're taking 35 and you can either continue on 35 and take the PP exit outside of Kearney, and you can hit my hometown, or if you're on 35 South, you can take the Highway 69 exit, which will take you through Excelsior Springs, and then you'll hit my hometown of Lawson. But went to college, after college, graduated, moved down to Springfield, Missouri, where my wife was going to school at Missouri State, and I lived down there. We lived down there together for 4 years, and before I made the move back up here to Kansas City to take on this job and this excellent opportunity here with 96.5. My wife, however, is still down in Springfield. So rather than us like going and looking for an apartment or something in Kansas City in the immediate future, we decided we wanted to wait and try to buy our first house whenever she makes the move up here. My wife will be moving up here in a couple of weeks. And probably 2 weeks to be exact. And so we were looking at houses. We found a house we liked. We're in the process of purchasing that house right now. But, you know, when you purchase a house or when you are about to purchase a house, that also means you have to then furnish that house. And sometimes you luck into a house that, you know, comes fully furnished or whatever. We didn't, nor does my wife want a house that's fully furnished, because my wife, as much as I love her, is a bit of a control freak and like wants things to her exact specifications, which I understand. Most people are like that. I just need a couch to sit on and a television to plug my PlayStation into and a fridge to hold my food. Sustenance and entertainment. That's all I need. But you gotta have the stuff to put in the house, right? You can't just have the house. And we've got some stuff that we'll take from our apartment in Springfield, right? We've got our mattress, our bed, and, you know, we've got a spare bed. We've got a couple of couches, like, for the basement. But we want, like, new furniture, refrigerators, whatnot. So my wife goes to a garage sale this morning, Jacob, and she finds stuff. And I knew she was going to find stuff. And it's great that she's going to find stuff. I was not prepared for the amount of stuff. So my wife got a deep freezer, a fridge, a pantry, a kitchen table with chairs, outdoor chairs, an electric fire pit, and the coup de grace, she bought a piano. And she called me this morning, or she texted me this morning, and she's like, they're selling a piano. Can I get this piano? And I'm like, hold on a minute. It's like, do you even know how to play the piano? And she goes, no, but I want to like learn so that I can teach our kids how to play the piano. All right.
Gotta learn someday.
You have to?
No, but it's another hobby you can do.
I didn't realize it was a requirement to learn how to play the piano. I missed the boat. I do not know how to play the piano.
I know very, very little. I had to learn for a graduation where we had to play our own songs.
You had to play your own song at a graduation?
Not like our own song, but you know, we had, as a class, we picked a song like to perform.
Okay, were you like, was it a, like, what class were you in where you had to play a song on the piano? Was this like a high school thing or college?
We had to have a person on every instrument, so I just...
Were you like in a music class or something?
What'd you say?
Were you like in a music class?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because, I mean, like, that's probably a knock against me that I never learned how to play the piano, because I was in choir my entire life. Like, from third grade until senior year of high school, I was in choir. Never learned how to play the piano. Never learned how to play an instrument. I was a theater kid, too, up until, like, late junior high into high school. So, like, I was like a musical kid, never learned how to play an instrument. And I've always told my wife, like, I want to learn how to play guitar. Because there's something so romantic about, like, when we have kids to, like, you know, sing songs to my kids, like, when they're going to bed at night. I don't think you can drag an entire piano into the kid's bedroom to do that sort of thing. But, you know, I teach their own, and she can play a little bit. Like, she learned how to play. Do you remember the song Sail by AWOL Nation?
Yes.
She learned how to play that. And of course, like the generics, like, you know, Itsy Bitsy Spider and Mary Had a Little Lamb and stuff like that. But I was like, why do we need a piano? And she's like, well, because, you know, she knows how to play it a little bit, but she's like, I want to learn more so that I can teach our kids how to play the piano. First thought was, okay, she wants our kids to be Mozart, like Beethoven. I don't know. Our kids getting into Juilliard, our non-existent children at this point. But at the same time, it's cool because, I mean, like, I didn't have a piano and have my house growing up, but she did, and she learned how to play a little bit. And if she wants to do that, then fine. It's a cool thing the kids can do and whatever else. I don't know. Somebody said Bob's Discount Furniture. That's not the first time I've heard that thrown around. We went to a couple of furniture stores last weekend or 2 weekends ago. Dog, furniture is expensive right now.
It is, and I'm dying at the U-Haul comment.
Was she shopping with a U-Haul? Unfortunately, no, because the garage sale happened to be... It's not the garage sale actually isn't until tomorrow. So it is my mother and father-in-law, a good friends of theirs that happened to just live across the street from them. They are the ones having the garage sale. They are selling their house and moving elsewhere and can't take a lot of their stuff with them. So the garage sale is not until tomorrow. They kind of gave my wife and I and my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, they gave them they gave us first dibs, so to speak, on going out and grabbing some of the stuff that they have that they can't take with them. I failed to mention that she also got us a washer and dryer also. So, I'm not sitting here complaining. It's just, you know, it's a lot of stuff that she's got. And it's great. We're getting a good price on a lot of it that we can take with us. As first-time home buyers, like, I don't want to buy all new stuff. It would be irresponsible to go out and buy all new stuff with this, you know, how the house payment that we're going to have to deal with for the first time in our lives. So I like the fact that we're getting this stuff kind of discounted. I just thought it was hilarious when she texted me this morning and she's like, can I get a piano? That's a wild request, but sure, if you want a piano, babe, you go right ahead. You know, go crazy, as I like to say. 913-586-7965. I love that I'm getting furniture recommendations now. We do the Nebraska Furniture Mart, 18th month, no financing, makes it more affordable. And we have considered Nebraska Furniture Mart. I know that my wife wants to go here in the next couple of weeks to go out to Nebraska Furniture Mart. It's funny, like, I love Nebraska Furniture Mart, for me, is always going to be associated with, like, fancy shopping, which I know is strange for some people. But like I said, I grew up northeast of Kansas City. So from my parents' house to Nebraska Furniture Mart was like an hour and 10 minutes to get there. And it was like one of the only reasons why we ever drove over to the Kansas side for anything. Like if we drove over to the Kansas side, it was to go to the Speedway, going to Sporting, or Nebraska Furniture Mart. It's the only reasons we went to Kansas, because pretty much everything else was in Missouri for us. Like, yeah, I mean, there was no real reason for us to go over to Kansas. But because of that, Nebraska Furniture Mart was always seen as like fancy shopping for me. But we've talked about that. Living Spaces is another one that somebody's recommending. Has nice furniture and it is relatively cheap. Oh, my girlfriend is the furniture manager at Nebraska Furniture Mart, so hit me up. My dog. Send the contact info. You let me know.
Just don't order online. I'm tired of delivering furniture.
So you on the side, you work for FedEx, correct?
Yeah, I'm a delivery driver out of the 210 terminal.
So I know, like, when you order from a Nebraska Furniture Mart, a lot of that furniture comes pre-assembled. So like when somebody orders furniture online and you have to go drop it off, like with FedEx, does it come made, like, or is it, you know, is it in pieces or is it fully assembled?
It depends. I mean, like, I had just 2 days ago, I had a 140-pound mattress frame that was needed to be taken to the third floor of an apartment with no elevator.
140-pound what was it made of? Vibranium?
Well, mattress frame.
Yeah, what is the frame made of?
I'm guessing steel.
Yeah, like something. Freaking titanium.
There are a lot of parts put in that. And then, like, you know, there's been a couple couches or sofas that come in 2-3 boxes that are, you know, just pieced up but ready made. But man, they take up so much space and a lot of heavy lifting.
When carrying a couch to an apartment, have you ever felt inclined to start yelling pivot randomly?
Thankfully, I mean, I can do all the lifting myself, so.
Thank you for laughing and understanding that reference. I'm sure there's somebody in the text line that really appreciated that joke.
That is a good one.
Dude, you can get free pianos on Facebook Marketplace. Seriously, people are just trying to give them away for free. She already bought the piano, man. This horse has been roped. We got to ride it. Revival Home Furnishings in Overland Park is the way to go. Really nice used furniture with a little bit of a modern twist. Cheaper than brand new, but not the crap you would find at Savers. We're looking, man. Ah, here we go. Here it comes. Is this still a sports station? Dog, we deviated from sports for 10 minutes. Just told a story about my wife buying a piano, all right?
It is 8:45.
Yeah, man.
I mean, what else do you expect? We got to fill time somehow.
Jeez, bro. Sorry that I want to talk about what's going on in my life.
We can talk about disc golf if you still want to talk about sports. See what they say about that.
All right. I'll give you the floor. You got 60 seconds. What's the latest going on in disc golf?
Oh, the season just started. I mean, if you really want to know, one of the top free agents got bought out of his $1 million contract. Yes, $1 million contract to
for
throw frisbees in the woods. And he
signed
with...
And my parents made me play football.
He signed with a company called Discraft and is making a stacked team over there.
$1 million.
Yeah, the biggest contract was signed in 2019, a 10-year, $10 million contract for a guy named Paul McBeth. It's crazy money. And then from Urbandale, Iowa, there's a kid named Gannon Burr. And yes, I say kid because he is younger than both of us. at 19 years old, just turned 19, and he made from tournament winnings alone $207,000 from playing tournaments last season, and he got to travel a free trip to Europe.
And yet, at 5'9 and 150 pounds, I was playing high school football. Damn it, Mom and Dad. Come on. What are we doing? Oh, go play football. Go play baseball. Go play basketball. You know what I could have been doing? I could have been pommel horse guy, okay, in the Olympics this past year. I could have been that guy playing disc golf, something that was more suited to my stature and athletic abilities. But no. No, go be a left-handed second baseman your entire life and go play DB on a high school football team. Oh, damn it. Sometimes your life decisions are questionable. But, you know, it all leads us to where we are now. 913-586-7965. We'll get back to some sports here to close out the show here tonight with you till 9 o'clock. Logan Weber alongside Jacob Mustard. It's After Hours on 96.5 The Fan. Ladies and gentlemen, I might be cooked. Unbeknownst to me, during that last segment when I was talking about my wife going to a garage sale, she was listening and just berated me with text messages. Her first message says, "Bro, why are you flaming me right now?" Oh, no. "I got all of this in a washer dryer for $360. Hell of a deal." You're right. I'm not saying it's not, babe. Not true. I know how to play the piano. Lies. All lies. Not cool. Be grateful. Wasn't asking for permission. No, I haven't bought it yet. Oh, it's a good thing my birthday was yesterday, or I might be SOL here.
I mean, as long as you buy a nice couch.
Oh, God, the three dots are on. I see them. The three dots have popped up. Oh, no. What's happening? The three dots are still there. Even my mother-in-law said she said you were the one that was picky with the couch. I was. This is not going well for me. Absolutely not going well for me. Somebody in the text line said, "We're from Lawson, Mo. Of course we're going to play football, basketball, those kinds of things." That's fair. Growing up in the small town that we grew up in. I don't know who that person is. I'd be curious to see who that is. Growing up in the hometown we grew up in, like, small town, you kind of play everything, right? And, like, when I was in high school, like, you've talked about how you played disc golf out in Lawson at the Lawson Lake that's out. That wasn't even around when I was in high school. That didn't become a thing until 2-3 years ago, maybe. Well, and so, like, we didn't, those sorts of things weren't around.
No, these, you've seen stuff like, I mean, even badminton and what was the other thing that boomed during COVID? It was, can't think of the name off the top of my head, but disc golf received a huge boom over COVID because you couldn't do anything. You know, it was something you could do to stay outside. And a lot of places like Lake Lawson decided, hey, let's pop up a course.
You know, it cracks me up that you, like, the way you say that. I've never heard it referred to as Lake Lawson before. Maybe it's because I lived in Lawson. Like, I always heard it referred to as Lawson Lake, or, like, my parents' generation, they referred to it as the Tank Pond. That was what it was always called. So it cracks. That's the second time I've heard you say Lake Lawson. It's like, that makes it sound way more fancy than it actually is. Cause it's not, it's literally just like a man-made lake. It's in a circle. Eh.
Do you want to hear the full name that it gives it?
Let me hear it.
If you go to search up the course, it says the Flying Cardinal at Lawson Lake.
The Flying Cardinal. Dear God. Whatever. 913-586-7965. Pickleball Mustard.
Yep, that was the other thing that exploded. And I mean, it's something that took off.
Dude, I just played pickleball last weekend. First time I've ever played. My wife's played a few times with some friends of ours, but I'd never had a chance to play. Last weekend, I went down to Springfield and spent some time with her and a group of our friends that came down. And we went and played pickleball. and dog, it's a good time.
It is. And it exploded during college, during my college days. We, you know, because I just graduated, and it's the campus Northwest up in Maryville put up some pickleball courts.
Yeah, those also were not around when I was in school, but neither here nor there. We talked about getting into it, and in fact, I bought my wife a pickleball set for Christmas, and we've talked about playing, and she's, like I said, she's gone and played a few times with friends of hers or friends of ours and really enjoyed it. And so to have an opportunity this past weekend, I definitely want to get involved and play pickleball more. It was, a lot more physical exertion than I think you're expecting going into it. I'd heard from people over and over and over again, like when you start playing pickleball, you have to hit the ball harder than you think you do. And I didn't find that to be the case. Like, I had heard that so often about playing pickleball that I was trying to be too soft with it, and I was getting nowhere close. Like, when I was trying to serve initially, like when we were warming up, I couldn't even get close to, like, the zone or whatever, right? They call, like, the front of the, where the net is, there's this, like, little green or a different colored area called the kitchen, I guess. And I wasn't getting anywhere. I was never getting over that. And so I liked playing, and, you know, maybe it was all those years of playing wiffle ball in the backyard, because the ball is very similar to like a wiffle ball when you played baseball as a kid. Dude, it was a good time. And like, I found myself the next morning, we played for like an hour, hour and a half. I was a little sore, like my calves and my knees. Like, I was not like the next day. On Sunday, I was fine. But Monday, when I was coming into work here, I was like, why do my calves hurt, man? Like, it's just pickleball.
It'll surprise you, man. I mean, like, up at college, we were trying to grow the sport, and we had some new people play disc golf, and they're like, man, my shoulder's sore. Yeah, because it's something you don't do every day. All these, like, physical hobbies that popped up, people don't realize, hey, stretch a little bit before or after. Otherwise, you're not used to these motions.
I was pleasantly surprised. I think it's accurate to describe it as like a mixture between, you know, obviously it's much more physically active than ping pong. It's not nearly as physically active as tennis is, especially if you're playing singles. But man, I really did enjoy playing pickleball a lot more than I even thought I would. You know, it's, for me, it's always nice to do something physical and be competitive again. I haven't been in high school. Like I said, my birthday was yesterday. I just turned 27. I haven't been in high school in 9 years, right? Like, I'm closer to 30 than I am to 21. Like,
ouch, you're getting up there.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. It was unnecessary. A lot of people would say that I'm getting nowhere near up there, so you leave me alone. Somebody just said pickleball's for unathletic tennis players. It's not true. I played tennis all through college. All the time. There's a bunch of tennis courts up in Maryville, Jacob. I hope you can attest to that. We used to play tennis all the time in college, and I enjoyed tennis, and I was okay at it. I'm not saying I was good. I would have gotten dog walked by somebody who was a high school tennis player, but I enjoyed playing, and I was good among my group of friends.
Yeah, we have that. We had a sand volleyball court. Those are all, I mean, fun activities to do.
But what I like about pickleball is that, like, you're not going to be wildly exhausted after playing it. You're not going to be super sore after playing it, and you can be competitive. Pickleball is a sport that is similar to me, like what golf is like, where it's a sport that, like, I could picture my wife and I playing pickleball in our 50s, in our 60s. I mean, I know parents of my friends, I know people, my grandma's age, who play pickleball and play regularly and really enjoy it. It's a way to keep yourself in shape. It's a way to stay competitive, but you're not breaking your back over it. Like, you can't play tennis forever. You can play pickleball for a very, very long time and do it at a high level, which I find fascinating.
I can attest to that for a quick story. I went down and played disc golf in Florida when we took a vacation down there. I took like 4 or 5 discs and just went out to a local league. I met a 72-year-old named Linda Voss, who was a 3-time world champion in her age-protected division, who started playing at 60.
And how'd that go?
Oh, she was great. I mean, she was happy to be out there. She was like, never did I think I was going to be playing in Florida heat.
That's awesome.
At 72.
That's awesome. Never did I think that we would finish out the show talking about furniture and pickleball, but here we are. go out, folks. Enjoy your weekend. Stay safe out there. It's going to get a little bit more chilly, but enjoy the outdoors if you can. For my producer, Jacob Mustard, this has been Logan Weber. Thank you for joining us here on After Hours on 96.5 The Fan. We out.